This is Alberto Soto. So today, Monday, August 18th, 2014, we will start with this call, with this Black Rallo monthly call. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning, because we have people connected everywhere. I would like to thank you all for having replied to our request for Portuguese, and today we have Portuguese in our call. I would also like to thank Daniel Fink, his manager and stakeholder from Brazil, and I think he is now participating in the Portuguese channel, so I would like to ask the staff to proceed with the roll call. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Black Rallo monthly teleconference on Monday, the 18th of August, 2014 at 2300 UTC. On the call today for Spanish, we have Adrian Carballo, Christian Casas, Antonio Medina Gomez, Adia Nobelia, Carlos Vera Quintana, Alberto Soto, Carlos Aguirre, Sergio Porto, Alfredo Lopez, Tatiana Tolucio, Gilberto Lara, Humberto Carcasco, and Fatima Cambrano. From Portuguese, we have Aslan Vargas and Vanda Scartazzini and Daniel. We have apologies from Juan Manuel Rojas, Johnny Lareño, Marcelo Torres, Javier Jose Polero, Oscar Garcia, and Eric Cusca. From staff, we have Sylvia Vivanco, Heidi Alvish, Terry Agnew, myself, Kathy Schnitt. We also have interpreting today for Spanish, Veronica and David, and for Portuguese, Esperanza. And I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Back over to you, Humberto.
This is Alberto Soto speaking. I see, thank you very much, Kathy. I see Dev is not on the call, and he's the one dealing with the first item on the agenda. This is our training cycle. So we can continue with our agenda. Fatima, please, you have the floor. Go ahead, please. This is Fatima Cambronero. Thank you very much, Alberto. Dev has just informed me that he is on another call and that he will join this call later. So once he joins the call, he will proceed with his presentation. So if you will, we can start with this call and then we can deal with the training cycle. Thank you very much. Alberto Soto speaking. So thank you very much, Fatima. Is Olivier connected? Is Olivier on the call so that we can proceed with our next item on the agenda? This is Silvia Vivanco. Alberto, Olivier is on another call, so perhaps we can continue with the next item on the agenda so that he can finish with the previous call. Alberto Soto speaking. Okay, so we will continue with the item D on the agenda. This is follow-up regarding the agreement in the Black Rallo General Assembly. This is just a brief follow-up regarding all these documents. And we will discuss and see what we will do, because then we will have comments for each of the working groups. So, first of all, we have the procedure to determine the means to achieve consensus in the opinion to certify ALSs. So, Sergio, you have the floor. Go ahead, please. This is Sergio speaking. Thank you very much, Alberto. Can you hear me? So, good afternoon. I will be very brief. This is an item that will be discussed in our next meeting in of the governance working group. Today, I have sent an email to the group so that they can read the document, so that once we get to the call, we have all an idea of the content of this document and to have and to be able to discuss this topic. The idea is to have a document and to debate this document, to have an approach. And this will be discussed later in the region. So during this time, we will work, and in our next meeting, we will have some progress about this. Sorry for not mentioning my name. I am Sergio Salinas Pota for the record. Alberto Soto speaking. Thank you very much, Alberto. Sergio, so this is Alberto Soto speaking. Next document is the proposal of Lacrale Procedures to work, issue and publish declarations or statements. We will work on the document sent by Fatima Cambronero. Particularly, I would like to mention that this is also posted for the governance working group so that they can work on that document. And I would like you to read who can issue a declaration or statement, and I think the document is, just as Sergio has mentioned, it is a complete document. This is for all the documents, in fact. Anyone who would like to make a comment or recommendation, of course, we have the procedures, but please, let's try to make the amendments or comments on complete paragraphs of the document so that we can replace complete paragraphs, so that we can make the work easier and save time. So I insist, this applies for all the documents. Now, let's talk about the next document. This is the procedure to improve the participation of ALSs in Lacrale and ICANN. Sergio Salinas Poto, you have the floor. This is Sergio Salinas Poto for the record. Well, we have two documents here. They will be debated, and of course, we will not have time, enough time, for the next meeting, but in the future we will circulate the document. We will start working on the first document that I have spoken before, and this second document will be discussed later. Now we are focused on trying to comply with the metrics we have been discussing in our last governance call. I will then let you know how we are working, our objectives, but in fact, we do not have enough time so as to deal with it right now. Of course, we will discuss the document later on. First, we need to deal with the first document. Regarding the participation of ALSs, and after that we will work on the following document, as I said before. So that's it. We will work in the following months. Of course, we have plenty of work within the governance working group, and we are doing our best to improve time for our work to be effective. That's all. Thank you. This is Alberto Soto for the record. Thank you very much, Sergio. So the next item on the agenda, this is the proposal of recruitment program to involve more ALSs in Lacrale. This document, as we said in the GA, relates to the improvement in the participation of ALSs and to cover countries where we do not have participation. We have been contacting people, and we will keep on working on that proposal. This proposal, or we will start right now. This was something pending from our General Assembly. This for the Chair and the Secretary. So from now on, in this link that is open, we will have a 30-day period for a public comment. so that you can comment on that. And after that, we will open the voting period. We will have 7 days, and then we will see if we can approve the document already commented by everyone. Our idea, together with Umberto, is to follow this procedure for all the documents and for all the publications. Of course, we will have a public comment period, and then after that period, there will be a voting. This is all when it comes to this point. Now, the following document is a proposal to unify the rules of procedures version. So, Umberto, please, you have the floor. This is Umberto Carrasco speaking. Hello, Alberto. I just wanted to tell you that we are still on the stage of adding the amendments or modifications to the rules of procedure. My idea is to draft a document in English or in Spanish so that we can discuss the document and compare both versions. I will have that ready before the end of this month so that I can send that information for comments to the region, just to check that there are no mistakes. Alberto Soto speaking. Thank you very much, Umberto. Now, taking into account what Sergio and Umberto have said, and as you can see, we have plenty of work, and we cannot do it all together. So, we have one document, which is open for public comment. And perhaps in the future, we will be able to submit another document for public comment. But this is, in general terms, the procedure. Next item on the agenda, update of working group, work methodology, and then we have the governance working group. Sergio, you have the floor. Go ahead, please. This is Sergio Trinasporta for the record. Thank you very much, Alberto. We had our meeting some days ago with some participation. Some members of the group were not able to attend the call. Otherwise, our discussion would have been more fruitful. But despite all this, we had good results when it comes to our guidelines on the agenda. Of course, this had to do with the creation of sub-working groups and dividing the pending topics, within the governance working group. And on the other hand, we have been discussing about some metrics or methodology guidelines to be able to work in a better way and comply with our deadlines. In that sense, some groups were created. There is a group which is working already. One group is dealing with metrics and the other is dealing with rules of procedures and the operating principles. The operating principles working group drafted a document. That document was sent for comments. And now we will have to add some amendments and comments to that. And of course, we will have to provide a final document or a final proposal trying to cover all the input ideas and insights given by the participants and by the people who have commented on that. Now we have ahead of us two big topics to be discussed. One is the rules of procedures and the other is metrics. And along these lines, we will have some metrics. We will be sending reports every 15 days. So, as you can see, next week we will be issuing our first progress report. And there will be some metrics starting as of August 18th. Then the following report will be every 15 days, and we will have a final report on October the 8th. There is a possibility that on October the 24th, we will have at least the two proposals, metrics and rules of procedure proposals, ready and well-defined within our working group. So we understand that on October the 24th, that is our deadline to deliver the metrics and rules of procedure documents and to submit those documents to the region for comments and evaluation. Once all the two documents are discussed, we will issue the final report or the final document, and that final document or report, final document will be sent on October the 8th. And on October the 24th, we will have the final document with the comments by the region. So by October the 24th, we will be able to know whether we will have a document on metrics and rules of procedures approved by the whole region. And I think this is very important when seeing the progress made in terms of transparency in our region. So I welcome all the efforts made by this working group, the secretary and the chair, and all the regions, because we are working very hard and we are doing our best. So that's all. Thank you very much, Alberto.
This is Alberto speaking. Thank you, Sergio. Now this is Humberto Carrasco speaking. My line got disconnected before, so I couldn't really listen to the first item you were explaining regarding the procedure to issue declarations of interest, statements of interest. But we should apply the same criterion we are using to receive new ALSs, because the document is already ready in Spanish and English. And so perhaps we should be able to submit it for a public comment period for 30 days so that they can both run for the same term. This is Alberto speaking. That's perfect. So Humberto, you have posted the link here in the chat room. This is Humberto speaking. That's correct. This is the link where it is. Alberto speaking. I ask that you put it again so that it's not confused with the other links posted there. So that from now on, we will have two documents. The document I refer to and that Humberto is now mentioning on the link that he will be posting right now, and it will be open for public comment for 30 days. And as from the last day, by coordinating this with the rest of the people, we will open the voting period for 7 days. Humberto, did you hear me correctly? This is Humberto speaking. I did. Now I'm trying to post the link where the document is in English and Spanish for the La Cralla Rules of Procedure for the elaboration and creation of statements. I am posting it right now. You can see it now in the chat room. And it is tied to the proposal that is already being published. However, we will send another email with this information so that everything is clear as from tomorrow. They are telling us that Olivier is already in the call. So I now give the floor to you, Alberto. So this is Alberto speaking. I see that Carlos Aguirre has raised his hand. Carlos, you now have the floor. This is Carlos speaking. Thank you, Alberto. I just wanted to ask that this link that you have just posted in the chat room, it would be nice if you can send it by email to all the ALSs so that we can have it closer and just more handy so that we can discuss it. This is Alberto speaking. Thank you, Carlos. We have thought about this. Umberto had said this, but today we dealt with a few issues. So Umberto will be sending an email tomorrow with all the information so that those who have not participated today can do it later on. I ask from all of you for some help. We are having more and more participants in our meetings, thank God. So if somebody raises their hand and I don't see them on the list and you do, please let me know. Thank you. Let's try to see if we can finish this. So it is Olivier on the line. Maybe we can finish with this and then restart with training and whatever Olivier would like to say. As for the last item on our agenda would be the training program. The training program for Lacrado is very, very important. As you will see now, there are some working groups who have conducted their work and we need to take advantage of the results of that work in the capacity building. Those aspects are very dynamic and they are just like our reality in our everyday life. So with the participation of everybody, we will try to cover these many aspects. In principle, Umberto is closing his discussions with Duolingo, so we will try to face the language barrier that way. When I said that there were some working groups who have worked, well, we are working on the difficulties we have identified in our region and the strengths as well. This is what came out from the strategy group for Lacrado. You see that working is very useful, but it's much more useful to work with the results. So we're going to work with that because each and all of us can just deal with the language we need to learn, aside from languages that we would like to learn if we do not really need to use a language to discuss in the region. We are also encouraging works via working groups in the mailing list. And this allows us to use a better time in our monthly meetings. So we could use two spaces of 20 minutes each for specific training issues and the rest of the time to develop the agenda. As you can see, this is just managing time, so we are improving capacity building issues. I also suggest using, for example, and some of us have already done this, we have sent the information, so it would be nice if others could do this. We should take advantage of the Lacrado introduction course. This has already been given. I think it was in the last meeting we held, our meeting. And it is very well done, but of course we accept criticisms. There were some criticism regarding some specific issues, but those who criticize also offered to collaborate and they just suggested that they can help to solve this issue. So this capacity building plan will have a theoretical and a technical area. The technical area will be used to cover knowledge on IP addresses, for example, DNS, security, stability, etc. And it would include the rules that are being used within ICANN regarding these technical issues specifically. The other one is the theoretical part, which is referred to rules and regulations for governance, which are the ones that we should use on a constant basis. And there will be an internal and an external mode. Within our region, we have people with the capacity and necessary training to be in any of these areas. If there are issues that we cannot cover, we will resort to people who can tell us who is the best person who can provide us with a talk that we cannot really cover. Of course, this plan, and I'm going to repeat very quickly what we have taken as weaknesses: language barrier, difficulty to work in groups. Why is that so? This is because there are language issues, but also because there are issues with the knowledge of the area that we need to discuss. We also have different perspectives of how issues should be dealt with in La Crada. There is a lack of experience for not participating. There is a lack of covering certain members of La Crada within the ICANN positions. And this causes some ALSs that are frustrated, and the idea is to eliminate this kind of frustration. But within the strength, we also have an average to high level of people in our ILSs. This includes a large amount of professionals from technical areas, such as engineers and lawyers, attorneys, and many of our members have covered positions within ICANN, and they can provide us with this experience. We have also increased work groups, and we have conducted activities to include new ALSs that have been interested in working with ALAC and ICANN in general. So these are strengths and weaknesses we are discussing with our training program. And you can also read the objectives, the activities, the plan, the themes, and the assessment of that capacity building training. In a few days, you will be able to see this document when we can translate it into English so that you can read it. And we're not going to vote this document. This document is actually a tool that we leaders in La Crada have so that we can quickly face this and coordinate this. This is not a procedure that needs to be approved. And so now I'm asking you if there's a question. I see Fatima has raised her hand. This is Fatima Campronero speaking for the record. Actually, I wanted to ask something because I didn't really understand. When we were talking about capacity building, are you referring to the course that we prepared with Natalia and with ICANN staff on capacity building for the introduction to La Crada, or are you referring to a different kind of training? Because if it is this course, I need to make some comment, but then if it's not that, then we can go on, and when you give me the floor, I can refer to the course. This is Alberto speaking. No, we actually are sort of finishing with it. So this is a capacity building plan for La Crada that is also including the introductory course. And let me say that I'm not sure if you were copied or not, but there were many of us who have read, and I think there is only one observation, as I said before, with offers to work on this observation, which I think is criteria. But just go ahead with whatever you have to say. This is Fatima speaking. Thank you, Alberto. I am going to post the link on the chat room with the direct access to the introductory course for La Crada. We have seen these comments, but we have not been able to reply. But as Natalia said in a previous call, and I want to explain this again, the idea is to have this as a pilot course. This is the first time we are doing this, and the idea is that everybody can take this, that they can make all of the self-evaluation questions that they need, and to assess the different aspects, and also to send comments after completing the course. I personally was surprised that Raymond took this very quickly, and he made so many comments when there was only the English version. Now we were informed that translations are already completed in English, French, and Spanish, and Portuguese as well. Thank you, Natalia. And you will also be able to take it then in the language that's most comfortable to you and to identify all those errors. So the idea is that this pilot course will last until the end of the year, because we know it's a very long course, and we have established these long term so that you can analyze it little by little. We should not read this very quickly. We should not analyze this material quickly and there is also an attempt to correct a few issues. So, of course, we will welcome comments for improvement, but please take this with time, process it, analyze it, and try to see what is it that we need to add in the rest of the course, or if this is going to take too long. And then by the end of the year, we will make an assessment of this program or of this course. If I'm forgetting something that I should be saying, please, Natalia, add this, because you are here on this call. So that's all, Alberto. Thank you. This is Alberto speaking. Thank you, Fatima, for all the comments. Natalia, would you like to add anything else? This is Natalia speaking. Can you hear me? We apologize. We don't really hear Natalia properly. The course is already completed in the four languages of the region. You can take it. And remember, it is a pilot, and we need your comments so that we can then proceed to the second stage of this course. Alberto speaking. Thank you, Natalia. I will insist with what Fatima has said, and we will remind you of this through emails that we will send, so that you can really take the course, because it is very, very important. I hope we can all really take it. So let's now go on back to the first item. Dev, are you ready?
This is Dave. Yes, I... This is Dave. Are you hearing me?
Please go ahead, Dev.
Oh, okay, thank you. Okay, well, I have a presentation. If you want, I can do the presentation.
I'm sorry, Dev.
After.
Yeah, Alberto would like to continue saying something. I'm sorry, Dev. Alberto would like to continue saying something. Please wait one moment, please.
Oh, okay.
This is Alberto Soto. Dev, I will introduce you. So Dev will now speak about the introduction, or he will speak about two character domain names in UDTLDs. This is a very important topic. Unfortunately, this topic is being voted, so we are not able to submit comments, but perhaps we can make suggestions regarding the voting and regarding the topic. Today, we have some news, and I know Deb will speak about this. This topic will be discussed in the ICANN meeting in Los Angeles. So, Deb, you have the floor. Go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you very much. This is David Antilakshmi speaking. So I have a PDF that I sent. Has staff gotten it, and can they upload it to the pod? Okay, I think I could share the link. Ah, this is Dave. Is the presentation ready to upload, or?
It'll be just one more moment, Dad.
Okay, so this is Dave. The presentation is being uploaded to the Adobe Connect room, so when that slide comes up, I'll start the presentation. While the presentation is being uploaded, this is Dave again. I'll post the link to the PDF. I'm certain it will be uploaded to the Black Rollo Wiki after the call. This is Dave. The file is now being uploaded. I'm seeing something changing on the icon. Okay, so I'll tell you what. This is Dave. If there's a difficulties, I'll just share my screen. I'm going to share my screen then. And if that's okay. And so this is Dave. Just to confirm, are you seeing my screen or?
Yes, we are seeing it.
Yes, we're seeing
the
screen.
Okay. Let me just see now. Okay, so are you seeing the slide with the title?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, thank you so very much. Okay, and so I'm sharing my screen here. So I may not see your questions or hands raised, so... Let me just present, the topic was the introduction of two character domain names in the new GTLD space. So just say I'm trying to give some background because I noticed on the Black Rollo list there was quite some confusion regarding what the comment, public comment was about and what my attempted draft was trying to say. So just to go through the background here, the registry operators signed registry agreements with ICANN for the delegation and operation of a generic top-level domain. And all applicants that have applied for the new GTLD as part of the new GTLD launch and that have successfully completed all the stages of the evaluation process, that is the initial evaluation, the dispute resolution, regarding any objection processes, and whether there were more than one applicant for the same string. Once there's one applicant that has successfully completed all of these stages, they sign a registry agreement with ICANN. So the standard text of the registry agreement can be found at that link, and it's a very long document, as can be expected. Now, on page 68 of that registry agreement, there's an appendix named Specification 5. Schedule of reserved names. Now, specification 5 sets out several strings or labels at the second level or at all levels that the registry operator either must withhold from registration or be allocated to the registry operator subject to certain conditions. Now, what exactly does levels mean? And I noticed that this was the source of confusion. So I'm just going to illustrate what we mean by levels when we talk about domain names. So first we're going to look at example.com. So if you look at example.com, the com is the first level domain or the top level domain. And this is typically a generic or a country code. In this example, of course, .com is a generic top level domain. Example is the second level domain, and www is the third level domain. And I'm just going to give a second example, which is example.co.tt. TT is the first level domain or top level domain. And for those who don't know, .tt is the country code for Trinidad and Tobago. Co is the second level domain, and example is the third level domain. So when the document and the comment talks about all levels, it refers to the second level and all other levels below that. So what does Specification 5 Section 2 say? I've just quoted a summary of it. And perhaps I'll read it just to ensure that it gets translated properly by the interpreters correctly. Specification 5, Section 2 states that all two-character ASCII labels shall be withheld from registration or allocated to registry operator at the second level within the TLD. Such labels may not be activated in the DNS and may not be released for registration to any person or entity other than registry operator, provided that such two-character label strings may be released to the extent that registry operator reaches agreement with the related government and country code manager of the string, as specified in the ISO 3166-1 Alpha 2 standard. The registry operator may also propose the release of these reservations based on its implementation of measures to avoid confusion within the corresponding country codes, subject to approval by ICANN. So that's a summary of Specification 5, Section 2. Now, so all registry operators that want to make changes to its registry service must use the registry services evaluation process as provided by ICANN. There's a link there that will explain that process in great detail. But all you need to know is that such proposals are called RSEP requests. And what has triggered the public comments is that many new GTLD registry operators have submitted RSEP requests to ICANN and to release certain character strings. And this was posted for public comment. And the link there is the same link that Fatima has posted in the chat regarding the at-large introduction of two-character domain names in the new GTLD namespace workspace. So, many of these requests are for the release of two-character labels at the second level, not on the ISO list, for which there are no corresponding government or country code operator. Now, my intended statement is to break it down into two things. When we look at two-character labels at the second level, such labels have been made available for many of the GTLDs and many CCTLDs. Shorter domains are more desirable to potential registrants, and such labels can be used for alternative meanings than the one used for the ISO 3166 standard. Now, just to give a little background behind ISO 3166, this is part of the ISO standard published by the International Organization for Standardization and defines two ASCII letter codes for the names of countries, dependent territories, and special areas of geographic interest. There are two links there. So by all means, you can read up more details about it. But just to bring up one key thing, and this shows a table, which I've taken from the Wikipedia entry. And what it does, it shows... this is Dave. Yes, Alberto?
It's not a 2000. You're changing the slides too fast for the translators to translate. So our friends are not getting it at all. So you need to slow down so the translators translate the slides.
Okay. Well, this is Dave.
Yep.
Okay. So, all right, I'm sorry, and I'll go back one slide. Just to give some background behind the ISO 3166-1 Alpha 2, this is part of the standard published by the International Organization for Standardization, and it defines two-letter ASCII codes for the name of countries, dependent territories, and special areas of geographical interest. There are two links that I have put on the slide, and which gives more details about it. The next slide, I'm going to show a table of the codes that could be used in this ISO standard, ranging from AA all the way down to VZ. And the table shows in green which ones are officially assigned today, but there are a lot of two-letter codes that are unassigned, that are free for assignment by the ISO group. So two things I've noted. I started thinking about when I read this comment. The ISO 3166 standard, it's not a static document. It will be updated to reflect changes to countries and territories. And as, for example, the letters BQ, CW, and SX were added to the list in 2010. So this got me thinking, and this is what I tried, the statement notes, that such future changes to that ISO list gives rise to a potential disparity in the implementation of Specification 5, where future countries and territories would be treated differently than those countries and territories on today's ISO list. But what the statement also notes, because of the reasons I gave regarding two character labels at the ASCII level, and I'll just jump back to that, you know, because they have been made available for many CCTLDs and many of the generic top-level domains, you know, because such labels can be used for alternative meanings than the one for the ISO 3166 standard. You know, for example, FB, for example, Facebook, for example, could use that to represent Facebook Facebook website, for example. And I'm sure many of you can think of other two letters that could mean certain other meanings. Because of these reasons, that the statement says that we do not object to the RSF request being granted because of these reasons, and that there should not be no restriction on two characters at the second level. We are not talking about the first level or the top level domain. That restriction still stays in place. Okay? I know this was a long presentation, and I think I'll stop now and, of course, answer any comments or questions. Before I do that, I just want to note that the ALAC statement was voted on. I believe it was adopted with 13 yes and 2 abstentions. And I note that the GAC, in looking at the statement and looking at the activity here, has put this issue on its agenda for the next ICANN meeting in Los Angeles. So, thank you, and I'll stop now. And I'll answer any questions. Thank you. This is Dave. Alberto, do you want me to answer persons that have raised their hands?
This is Alberto speaking. There is someone who has raised their hand. This is Sergio. Please go ahead. This is Sergio speaking. Thank you, Alberto. Thank you, Dave, for allowing me to express myself. There is something that throughout this week there was a back and forth of emails where we were discussing this issue precisely. And I want to be clear in my appreciation. When we are discussing these issues, especially the ALEC members and the representatives, we need to consider what is the impact these will cause on the users. And I am saying this because this may cause some confusion among users, and it can also create some problems or some legal issues. So in this line, I think we are not actually looking at this issue in particular. There is something I posted or I wrote in my emails, and I will repeat again, and it's this. On the one hand, I think we should do nothing to innovate on how on giving the new GDLDs any domain names with two characters. And this is just because we do not really know what is going to happen in the future or even in the present with many countries who may change their names or they may change their status. So I think it would be very important to preserve both 3166.1 as well as 3166 alpha 2 with respect to that domain name table that is still pending to be used. We saw a lot of domain names that are in white color, and this means they have not been delivered to any country, but they will be delivered in the future. On the other hand, I think what we should preserve is the fact that users should have a clear scenario of what the rules are and what the rules they will be playing with are. It has been said that two characters have always been used to refer to a country, and more than two characters, and this is in general terms, of course. There are some examples that may be against it, but the truth is that in general, when we have two characters, this leads us to think we are referring to a country code, and where there are more than two characters, we are thinking of a new GDLD. And in this sense, I think that we should consider that when we are approving something or presenting a document, we need to consider the users and not companies. And many times, an issue that is raised by companies may, for us, be a very good excuse to start working on issues related to users and the fact that users should have a more stable experience within this. This is all. Thank you very much. This is Alberto speaking. Thank you, Sergio. Fatima, please go ahead. This is Fatima speaking for the record. In the chat room, I said I did abstain for this ALEC declaration, and I would like to say why. Why is it that I abstained? And I also give my reasons to ALEC, because if there is one member that votes in abstention, they need to explain the reason why they voted that way. So firstly, I participated in this issue within ALEC, and from my point of view, in the first declaration or statement that we submitted from ALEC, there were some contradictions, and this, for me, is a very difficult issue to understand because it is extremely technical. As you know, my background is a legal background. So I have asked several colleagues in the region, people who specialize in these issues, so that I can try and understand this. I didn't understand why is it that it was necessary for ALEC to make a statement on this issue. I still do not understand this. And then when we reviewed the statement and there were new comments added, and it was modified, and we started with our discussion in La Crallo. Well, actually, the discussion in La Crallo started a bit late, because it has already been voted on ALAC, and there was a lot of confusion in Lacrallo with this issue. I think there still is confusion when we refer to first and second level domains, and many members in the region told the ALAC members that we should vote negatively. I believe that because there was confusion and because issues were not clear within the region, and because I was a representative in the region, my vote should be an abstention, at least until these issues were clear. Then we discussed this with Dev, and we coordinated this so that he can come and explain this issue, because we know it is a complex issue, and I think it's not being properly understood. I regret the fact that the vote has already been closed, and I think these are the main issues. I do understand that an issue that is a bit difficult to understand may cause the user to be confused, and this is what should concern us, but this is the only reason I see. Thank you, Alberto. This is Alberto speaking. Thank you, Fatima, for your explanation. This is Alberto for the record. Before giving the floor to Aida, there is a comment from Rubens Kuhl. My English is not very good, but Rubens says that this is just a quick comment. Not all of the mentioned RSEPs are two-letter domains. One of them is for letter digit, digit letter, and digit digit combination. Like the F1 TLD and the current new GATLD agreement forbid combinations that will never be ISO codes. This is the comment from Ruben. Aida Noblia, you now have the floor. This is Aida Noblia speaking for the record. I just wanted to say I have been following these issues. I have seen the documents for the country codes and all that table, and it was a bit difficult for me to understand. But I wanted to clarify this because my comments were in line with preserving two-letter codes for countries because this is more clear. And we see these as users because the technical part is not clear for us. And well, I think we should respect the aspects expressed by the technical area. However, because this is addressed to the users, I didn't really want to vote. I didn't really have a defined position because this is a very technical issue. So I still think that the commercial part can have so many other options with so many letters available. And so I thought we should give preference to that user option. But again, I abstained from voting because I considered this was more related to a technical opinion. That's all. Thank you. This is Alberto speaking. Thank you, Aida. I see Olivier has raised his hand. Please, Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chen and Mr. Olivier Caetano speaking. So I have concerns about this specific set of statements because the statement that has just been voted on is the first one in many other statements that are likely to come to comment on exactly the same sort of request that is being asked by other applicants. We've now seen, and you will have seen in your agenda on the policy discussion page, we've now seen a first statement. There are two more requests to ask for the same sort of thing as well as the first one. And so we are going to have to issue more statements about this. And of course, if there are abstentions in our votes, and you've seen that the vote did, it passed, but there were two abstentions. If there are abstentions, then if the abstentions are because people don't understand the issue, then we need to really make the issue understood and make our point. And perhaps at that point, some people will decide to vote against the statement or vote for the statement, but at least they will not abstain about this. So I'm going to put a little, just to try and explain a little bit more. Here is a link to a Wikipedia page. I'm sorry it's in English. I could only find it quickly in English there. And what it does on that page, if you scroll down the page, you will find a list of well-known two-letter domains under .com. And in there you'll find AA.com as American Airlines and GP.com as Georgia Pacific and a whole list basically going all the way down. But you'll find in there as well AE.com, which if you look at AE as being the top level domain and well, the country code for United Arab Emirates, AE.com is actually American Eagle Outfitters. And you'll see a lot of other companies out there, many of which websites you will have used. For example, FB.com is Facebook, and you'd have, I think, MS.com is Morgan Stanley. But you've got plenty of other domain names here under the .com name. Now, if you scroll further down, you will find that some two-letter .com domains are also used as national country codes, which are promoted through one single private London-based registration company called CentralNIC. They're the only company that has used the second-level domains as a country code rather than just as two letters to denote a company name. And in there you have AR.com, websites in relation to Argentina, BR.com, websites in relation to Brazil, et cetera, in there. But there are only a handful of these, or a couple of handfuls of these, that are used by one single company. The question today is whether for other extensions, the new generic top-level domains that have come out, there is a need to restrict the second level so that you would not be able to use two letters in the second level. So instead of having fb.com, if you had fb.newdomain, you would not be able to use fb.newdomain. So you're effectively stopping any of these registrants that have two-letter second-level domain names in .com to register under the other extensions, effectively. That's where the problem lies, and so the original rule was made because there was some thought that there would be some confusion for users, but as you can see, there are far more domains under .com that are two letters that denote companies and organizations and so on that are not country domains or country in relation to a country. There are only a small number of sites that are in relation to a country. And even that sometimes is a little bit confusing to users, in fact, because when you have a name of a company, .uk.com, users don't really know at that point what that means and whether uk.com is the company or whether the company name is the name before that. So I hope I've given you a little bit more of an example on how this works and how that helps. But you see, you can, when you look at domains which are something dot two letters dot com, often the two-letter name is the one that is understood as being the company and not as being a domain name. As being a country code. Of course, at the top level, there is not going to be any change. At the top level, any two-letter top-level domain is going to remain a country. That there's no change on that. We're dealing here with a second level, not the top level. Okay, thank you.
is Alberto speaking. Thank you, Olivier. That was an excellent explanation. Aida Novier now has the floor. This is Aida speaking. This explanation of the first and second level is what we as users do not really, or this explanation is not completely spread out. So perhaps by spreading this out, we can solve the issue, because this is what we are doing to spread it out to the users. Now that we know that this refers to the first and second level, we need to make more outreach of this and think of it a little bit more. That is, this may create some confusion. So there is perhaps a communication problem that can be solved, and if we spread this out, this can be solved. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you. This is Alberto speaking. Thank you, Aida. I want to say that I requested collaboration on the list a long time before, and unfortunately, I didn't get it before. So that actually is the reason. There is no lack of communication, but actually a lack of collaboration, what we have this time. And I commit that this will not happen again. Please, Fatima and Carlos, speed up, because we have just a little time. This is Fatima speaking. Thank you, Alberto. Very briefly, I just want to reply to what Olivier has said. So firstly, I understand that you prefer that there are no abstention votes within ALAC, but I, as a representative of my region, want to vote just what my region is indicating, and if this is not clear for the region, then I need to abstain. Secondly, when we refer to the fact that the issue was not clear, we said it was not clear for the region. This is because it is a complex issue, and that is why we invited Dev today so that he can explain this on this call. And I don't know if you, Olivia, were on the call when we referred to this before, but we presented the course that we, Natalia and I, created together with I Can Learn, so that the region can take the course and get trained on this issue. So the training issue is being solved little by little. And the main reason why there was a vote in abstention is because the discussion within La Corralo started when the vote in ALAC was already open. And so I think it is not fair to issue a vote when the region is still discussing this. That's all. Thank you, Alberto. This is Fatima speaking. Carlos, you now have the floor. Please be brief. This is Carlos speaking. I'm going to be brief then. After the explanations we heard from Dev and Olivier, and after seeing the presentation, those of us who work in these issues or deal with these issues, we still see it is pretty complicated for those of you who do not deal with this. We still need to understand what are first, second, and third levels, so that we can then explain to you that these labels or these two-character domains some of them are forbidden for someone or not, and then we need to explain what are those characters. I think we need to make this more simple, and we should also have a document in Spanish in our case. That's all. Thank you. This is Alberto speaking. Dev, please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Devanand speaking. First, thanks all for the comments. Just to say that, regarding Fatima, I certainly hope that the explanation I've given will allow you to reflect exactly what the statement was trying to say. and hopefully you'll consider supporting it. And of course, I'm available to try to answer any further questions, and for anybody else, for that matter, to try to explain this issue. Just to fully support what Olivier said, that you know, the two characters, and we'll be talking about two characters at ASCII level from the letters, using only letters, AA to ZZ, it would still be available at the top level domain. So there's no worries there in terms of country codes or being suddenly taken by anyone and then in the future something happens. The top level is protected. It's really at the second level that this protection is probably no longer relevant. And again, it comes back down to the same reasons that we said. The two characters at the second level, you know, FB.com, for example, you know, all of they are used for alternate meanings. For example, an alternate meaning could be for languages. EN, many of you are familiar with it. EN for example, for English, FR for French, ES for Spanish, and so forth. So, you know, a TLD could decide to use that for that reason. So, in retrospect, so when you analyze that, it's really the statement is trying to say two things. Point out the flaw in what the registries are asking for, and I think it's important to really point out if there's flaws in the logic by registries asking for exemptions to the registry agreement, it should be pointed out. The second point is to say that, you know, given the use at the second level for two characters...
Dave, I'm sorry to interrupt you. This is Alberto speaking. Dave, unfortunately, we have no more time.
I'm just going to say quickly that given that the two characters at the second level, it's already in use by many GTLDs and CCTLDs. There's no reason to really have this restriction. That's it.
This is Alberto speaking. Thank you, Dev. Now, Olivier will give us an update on public consultations. Olivier, go ahead, please.
This is Alberto Soto speaking. Olivier, please go ahead. Oh, I see on the chat that he has dropped. So just to make the most of the time, Haley Ulrich will tell us about a topic which is very important. This is the I Can Have. So Haley, go ahead, please, and then we will give the floor to Olivier. Sorry, this is Heidi. Alberto, did you call on me?
Yes, Heidi, they did. But,
I'm sorry.
This is Tarzan. Just carry on.
Okay, this is Heidi. We wanted to announce that there's going to be an opportunity for all a large structures for the Los Angeles meeting in October, and that will be to serve as hubs for that meeting. And you'll recall that during previous meetings, like for example, London 50, there were ISOC chapters as hubs. But this time there will be the chance for at-large structures to be hubs. And if staff could put the workspace for the hubs up onto the AC room. So the process will be, there'll be an online form that will be posted very shortly, and it contains information required in terms of the name, the ALS, the number of people that are expected to participate in these hubs. There are also two types of hubs. One will be
a one-way listening-only hub, and there will be an unlimited number of those types of hubs. And the second type of hub will be a two-way hub, and that will include both listening as well as the ability to communicate. This will be used during the Thursday public forum. And there will also be technical assistance from our IT team in terms of French, Spanish available. The technical specifications have been posted in English currently, and we will be posting those technical specifications in the other five UN languages very shortly. In terms of the way that it will be selected, currently the ALAC is looking at it to be a self-selecting. So apply online, and then given the requirements, and the announcements will be made later on after the 12th of September. ICANN will reimburse for the service of the hubs after the actual meeting. And I think that's currently the information I have to provide. Thank you.
This is Alberto Soto speaking. Thank you very much, Heidi, for the information. This is a very important topic, and we will remind this and post that information on our mailing list. Olivia, please, go ahead. You have the floor.
This is Dave.
Alberto Soto speaking again. It seems that Olivier has dropped again. We have 6 minutes to get to the top of the hour. So it seems that he is back. Olivia, please, go ahead. You have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. So sorry, I was just dropped again, and I apologize for not being at the beginning of the call, but we had to finish an ALAC leadership team call that ran a little bit late. We've already had our discussion today about the recently adopted ALAC statements documents, the introduction of two character domain names in the new GTLD space, and the next two requests after that. I unfortunately got dropped at the end of our discussion on this, so I don't even know what was decided on that. But it's, of course, there are likely to be a lot more of these questions arriving. I wonder whether it might be helpful if we could have a webinar on this. Because I've just, in the meantime, while I was dropped, I tried to look for some information in Spanish and in French and other, in non-English languages on these issues, and I can't find anything. It's all in English, and it's pretty confusing. So I wonder if this could be one of the things we could learn from this as being an issue that does affect end users, because it has the potential to confuse people. But some people think it's confusing, some people don't think it's confusing, and this is why it's been a discussion which we've actually had on the ALAC that has been much more busy than many of the other topics that we've discussed where there were just a few comments. This one really brought a lot of comments through. So I don't have much else to say. I've heard what Fatima said about the abstention and so on, and it's no problem. I mean, at the end of the day, every ALAC member needs to vote according to both their view and the view of their region, depending on how they feel, whether they will follow the view of their region. And if there is confusion out there, it's perfectly normal to abstain. And that just serves the fact that that's a job that we have to do to tell our people. There are no other
statements or endorsement currently being developed or reviewed. There is one that is going to be coming up soon, which is a, where is it? I haven't even got it there. It's a long-term one, so it will be within the next month and a half or so. And so you will read about it in the normal ELAC announce. I think it's imminent. Today or tomorrow it will be launched. That's it for the time being. Thank you.
Alberto Soto speaking. Thank you very much, Olivier. Thank you for your participation. Perhaps I may give the floor now to our participant, Daniel. Daniel, you have the floor. You have 1 minute to speak. Daniel, are you on the call? Otherwise, we will bring this call to a close. Daniel is on Portuguese, I think. Alberto Soto speaking. So, thank you very much for your participation. We're almost 30 participants, and I am also taking into account the apologies. So we have 30 participants in our region, and this is a record for us. This is the highest, one of the highest participations that we had. So thank you very much to staff, to the interpreters, and now we've finished this call. This call is now adjourned. I see Olivier with his hand up. Olivier, would you like to make a comment?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And I apologize for putting my hand up at the very, very last moment. I was looking at the, I've just found the public comment that has just started a couple of days ago, and that is proposed bylaw changes regarding consideration of GAC advice. The GAC is the Government Advisory Committee. That's a thing that has just, a process that has just started. I've put the link into the chat. And it looks as though Ariel had not updated this yet in our own policy development page. So that's one that has a long-term response all the way up till the 15th of September. It's basically looking at the ways that GAC is going to change the ways it works with the board provide its advice, and I must admit I haven't read it yet, so I'll just raise your interest on it for you to have a look at it. And if Lacrallo wishes to comment on this, then I would suggest that you get reading as soon as possible. That's it. Thank you.
Alberto Soto speaking. Thank you very much, Olivier. We will try to read that document. Thank you very much. And we're finishing just in time. So thank you once again. This call is now adjourned. Thank you.
This meeting has adjourned. Please disconnect all remaining lines.